You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
What are you even worried about? It's Worry Week on The Wire.
With the Auckland Pride Festival running from the 2nd to the 18th of February, this week The Wire is looking at Pride issues on our Worry Week. Today I talked to trans academic Lexi Matheson about Pride in the Police, the rainbow police car in the Auckland Pride Parade, and about changing attitudes towards the queer community in New Zealand. I started by asking her what her opinion is on the rainbow police car in the Pride Parade.
I really like it. It serves a really good purpose for the police, which is to highlight the diversity work that they do, which is, you know, it's really very good what the police have managed to achieve in a huge organisation that's, you know, that's just I wouldn't want to be running it. And they used the Pride Parade and used the rainbow car to promote what they, you know, what they do, and the fact that they are available and they do have diversity services. They also have queer cops and transgender cops, so the opportunity for them to participate in the parade is really important, and they did it with horses, they did it with dogs, why not do it with a car as well?
In your article with the spin-off, you do talk a little bit about the turbulent sort of history with the police and the queer community. Do you think that something like this, a representation of the queer community by the police in the Pride Parade, is something that acknowledges that past, or is there something that needs to be done to acknowledge that more?
I think it needs to be acknowledged more, and I'm hearing that from, you know, from colleagues in the police as well. I didn't have an opinion about it really. I think sometimes apologies are quite, you know, they're quite shallow. We hear government do it to Māori. We hear it quite often in the media about organisations that have made an apology for behaviours in the past. And I'm personally more interested in seeing what's happening now and having strategies that are going to make things even better in the future. But quite a lot of people have been saying to me, it's time now for the police to apologise to the queer community for the ways that the ways of the past, basically, which haven't been particularly supportive. And yeah, I think that's an okay thing to do, but it's not something that I would put at the top of my priority list. As I said, I'm more interested in today and the improvements that have been made in recent times and keeping those improvements going. And part of our role, as people in our queer community, part of our role is to ensure that these big organisations who have made really significant progress over a period of time, that we keep them honest with that, because, you know, there's a phrase in our community that's been around for a long time, eternal vigilance. And often if you don't keep an eye on what's happening, things can go backwards. And we've seen that during the Trump administration in the United States, where LGBTQI people rights have been really seriously affected in the name of religious freedom. And so we've got to be really careful about that, and it's really affected the community that I'm part of, which is the transgender community. And there's a bad history. It's not a good history with New Zealand police, but I have to say that in the last 5-6 years and the dealings that I've had with the police, they've made serious efforts and serious improvements, and often those have to be symbolic, and the car is symbolic. The fact that Commissioner Bush travelled the length of the parade at the same time that the Prime Minister did for the first time, it's the first time we've ever had a Prime Minister walk in the parade, those are significant symbols for our community and indicators that that things have improved and that the intention is that they will improve even further.
Yeah, that change is happening and that it's continuing to move forward.
Yep.
Going back to the apology that the queer community, well, some people in the queer community sort of want from the police, or you said that that's probably not the top of your priority list. What exactly would be?
The top of the priority list is sort of, has been in the last 5 or 6 years for me, the interface between police and the Department of Corrections. And that's a complex one, because it's two huge organisations that are not exactly reliant on each other, but work together. And in recent times, we've seen in 2017, for example, the Pride Board of the time rejected the application of the Department of Corrections to participate in the parade, and the reason for that was they hadn't made any movement on developing a transgender prisoner policy, which they had promised. And over the last 12 months, we've seen huge steps forward. I can't say how impressed I am with the Department of Corrections. They've just been amazing. They now have a transgender prisoner policy, which will keep transgender women who are housed in male prisons, keep them safe, which has been a real priority for me and a lot of people in our community. And they now have a rainbow network of staff, so that the staff can actually be visible and be out in the workplace, and that's huge. And we know that from other places. And we have to thank the police diversity team, because they, I believe, have worked with the corrections department to bring about those things. So what I see from my side of the fence as an activist, I go, wow, that's a huge change in the space of a year. How's that happened? And it's happened through good intentions, wise counsel, and the result of that is safety and visibility for people in our communities in those big organisations, but also safety for us on the street as well.
Yeah, and I feel like those symbols with the Prime Minister walking in the Pride Parade for the first time is something that must mean that everybody should be thinking about it. It's coming right from the top of government, so I suppose that's something else.
That's right. It's very, very important. Something that's happened this year with Pride, and I'm not speaking in this interview on behalf of Pride. These are my own views, even though I am a member of the Pride board. One of the things that I've been hugely impressed with this year is right from our gala, right to the last event, which was a church service on Sunday night, we've had leaders in our community, leaders and from central government, leaders from local government, appearing at our events and being happy to do so. So it sort of means that that people are very conscious of their brand, and we're very conscious of our brand, and it's obvious now that they see our brand as a secure, safe and trustworthy brand, and they're prepared to align theirs with ours. That's huge too, and it wasn't something we necessarily set out to do, but it's something that's happened, and it's happened over the 6 years, and everyone who's been involved in that evolution give themselves a big pat on the back. And of course, we had about 30 to 40,000 people in Ponsonby Road on Saturday night having a real knees up. It was a fabulous evening, and an evening that brought me to tears on more than one occasion, particularly when I saw the corrections department staff marching down there in their coloured T-shirts and stuff. That gave me a real buzz. I really enjoyed that.
So just a last couple of questions. Where would you like to see the future of the queer community and the support for it in New Zealand?
I'd like to see the government take a really, it's not a particularly courageous step. 20 years ago it might have been, but now they have as a policy, the Labour Party has as a policy, to put gender identity and gender expression into the protections of the Human Rights Act. That's a really important thing for us, that we're visible there. At the present moment we're not, and if you can't be seen, how do you survive as a person if you can't be seen in your own community? So that's a biggie, and I talked with the Prime Minister about that on the weekend. I didn't put a time frame on my expectation, but it is their policy, and we can expect that to happen at some time during this particular Parliament. And the other thing is to have questions in the census that give us some sort of data around how many people identify as parts of our community, the LGBTQI community. It's important that those questions be asked, because at the present moment we have no data on which to base our particular needs in terms of healthcare and housing and so on. At the present moment we're almost an invisible minority, parts of our community. Of course, out there in the parade on Saturday night, it looked as if we were very visible, but if you think, how many transgender women of colour did you see in the parade? Well, not many, if any. So there are parts of our community that are still quite discriminated against and quite invisible. And having that data, I'm speaking as an academic as well, having that data will enable us to put together strategies that will enable government and local government and local authority, health departments and so on, to make really good informed decisions about what we need.
And James Shaw announced that he was hoping by 2020 that those sort of questions would be involved in the census.
Yep. We're still pushing him to see if we can get them in this one.
Yes.
That's part of the, you know, the concern that came up about the car, because I was pretty forthright in my opinion about it. You know, a car that's got rainbow stripes on it for 2 weeks seemed more like a gimmick than, you know, than a serious symbol. And part of our job as people in our community, if we're activists, is, as I said before, to keep these organisations honest, and we'll be on James's case, and we have been already, to ensure that that data is collected in that in the 2020 survey. That's really, really important for us. And it's great to hear him saying that.
Just want to say doing it.
Just a wee bit late.
Yes.
From our point of view, because the longer we don't have that data, the more difficult it is for us to lobby government with relevant statistics.
Absolutely. And so just finally, why do these changes matter? Why do we need to have these changes happen for the queer community?
Equality. It's all about equality. Now, some of the parts of the acronym already have a fair amount of what we call privilege. It's not really privilege. They have equality with everyone else in our society, and that's fabulous. You know, I'm often criticised for talking about privilege, but privilege is what we should all have. And when our most disadvantaged groups in our community, and I mentioned transgender women of colour, they're probably the most disadvantaged. When they have the same rights in our society and the same services available to them as everybody else, we can stop talking about privilege. The word simply won't have any meaning. But it's about equality. It's about making sure that every person who walks down Queen Street has the same rights, has the same privileges, has the same access to the services that everybody else has. It's hard to get that equality. We think back to 1986, it's as recent as that we have the homosexual law reform bill, and before that, our gay men who were engaged in relationships were actually breaking the law. So that's only 32 years ago. We've got a long way still to go. But it's always good, you know, if you're an activist like me, you're always focusing on the things you haven't got and that you haven't done. But it's really good occasionally to reflect back and think how far we have come, what the police have done in terms of their diversity strategies and the realities of what they've achieved. There's a long way still to go, but we should be really thankful for what people have, you know, people have stood up and been counted along the way.
Worry Week on The Wire.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.